It's our privilege today to have Brother Ricky Dunsford with us, and he's always a blessing to our hearts. Brother Ricky, would you come and share what the Lord has laid on your heart?
Thank you, Brother Todd. I do appreciate that. Well, I was wondering how tall people were going to make that work. So an internal door, that may be a trap door to get me out of here too, right? So have you ever thought, now I've been preaching so long, I don't remember how long, over 40 years, I forgot. And so this August will be 41 years since I preached my first message. And I sit and thinking, now, if you've been a public speaker as long as I have, and I've been privileged to speak to some different sized crowds, the Lord's been very good to me over the years in that area. And if you're a public speaker, you're always sitting there, most people are, gathering their thoughts, getting ready for what they're about to say. I'm definitely not a teleprompter guy. Very extemporaneous, you might say. Otherwise, I put my foot in my mouth a lot. But shouldn't you be thinking, how many of you are sitting here thinking, boy, I'm waiting on what the Lord has for us? Or you be honest like me. I was watching a young lady play the piano, watching her foot mash that pedal. And all I could think of was that old 62 Chevrolet that I had. That if you didn't throw it in neutral, hold the brake, and sit there and rev on it, it'd go dead on you and you'd flood it and you'd never get going again. Don't ask me why I think about that kind of stuff. But I do. So maybe it helps calm my nerves a little bit. I don't know. But Brother Todd said in Sunday school this morning that he has been likened to Joe Biden. I'd shave my head too, brother. if he shaved his head, looked like me, I've been likened three different times across this country to Cal Ripken Jr., so at least you'd be fair a little better. So praise the Lord for that. In your Bibles, chapter number 3 of the book of Exodus. Chapter number 3 of the book of Exodus. I'm going to do something I normally don't do. I have been praying since Brother Todd asked me several weeks ago to would I consider being here today. And it's always a great privilege to be with you folks. And when I come here, I leave challenged and very convicted. I really do. The thought in Sunday school this morning was tremendous. I sat and thought, Lord, help us. I even think of myself, and I tried to discern and ask God for discernment, but I began to realize how much the world does affect us and how our thinking is so easily drawn away if we don't stay in our Bible and we don't pray diligently. And I thought Sunday school was a great time. Matter of fact, I even thought about applying this. Brother Todd said, Judy is my better half. Well, that's not exactly true. I'm 6'4", she's 5'2". She's my better two-thirds. So so I want to be correct in getting that sort of thing done. Isn't it amazing how God just makes us all different, doesn't he? I really was challenged. It helped me this morning, maybe in a different area than Brother Todd was taking us in understanding. But I was reminded again by the Holy Spirit, we're all different. We're unique in His eyes. When it comes to the area of being His children, there is, I guess, in some ways, an equality with God. But I remember the old song, that camp meeting song that was saying, He loves me like I was His only child. And I'm thankful that God loves me just for who I am today. And I'm thankful so much for the Word of God and for such a great ministry here. I really am. I'm always challenged. I love to come to the Sunday school time and sit and listen. It just means so much to me. And of course, the ministries here have been special to me for many years. I think at least 39, 40 years ago, maybe, I preached here, just a young guy, I'm young now, so I'd have been about six back then. And no, when Dr. Hobbs let me come by, and it just means so much to me to be here today. I'll not preach any longer than the message lasts. And so Exodus chapter number 3. Read first two or three verses, if you would. I'll pray, and then I'll try to bring this thought this morning. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 3 of Exodus, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. If the Lord will help me today, I want to preach on this thought, just any old bush will do. Just any old bush will do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Sure need your help today. Lord, I thank you for the good singing today. My heart sure did worship and praise you. I thank you, God, for the good teaching again this morning, for the great fellowship. And Lord, this is one of those places when I come here, I really believe that people have prayed for Judy and I. And I just praise you for prayer warriors, for partners together in reaching the world with the gospel of Christ. Now, Lord, we need your help today. And Lord, would you speak to us from your word? Lord, would you close my mouth to things that are unnecessary and should not be said? Would you open it wide to that would please you the most? Lord, I do pray if there is one sitting in this congregation, that if they'd be truthful in their own heart, there's never been a time, Lord, where they've met you and have a relationship with you. And if you were to call us all out, they would not go. If death came their way, they would not enter heaven. If there won't be one like that today, I pray the convicting of the Holy Spirit would do his work. And we'll just praise you, Lord, for all that you do today, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I was interested in this particular passage. Now, honestly, I preached this message in 2010. And I studied for several weeks on what I was going to preach on a title, and maybe I'll preach it some other time, entitled, Lord, Can I Have Seconds? That's what I thought I'd preach today. Thought I'd tell you a little bit about mamas and Nanner Pudding, and preach a little bit on Can I Have Seconds? But earlier this morning, the Lord changed my heart to this thought, and so if you'll help me by just smiling real big, and I don't care if you stand up and go, Ngawa, but just help me along this morning, okay? Y'all smile. Come on now. It's not that bad if you say it real fast. So I want us to notice something. It took my heart this morning. I was reminded again, just any old bush will do. We see the presence of God in the flame and the fire of God and a simple little earthly bush. Nine times in my Bible is the word bush used. In eight of those times, it's always speaking about this particular event. Another time, Jesus is speaking about the resurrection. He's speaking about some things, and he compares the bramble bush contrary to the fruit tree or the grapevine. And so it's always speaking this little bramble bush. Now, what I've studied and seen, and of course, I don't know how accurate any of this stuff is because wasn't none of us around back then. But they all tell me it's a special type of bush that grew in that desert time or in that desert. It interests me because when I looked at it a little bit more and traced back some of the root words in the Hebrew, it comes from a word where we get our word cowrod from, or similar to the word cowrod. Now, he's got me all nervous about saying equal and similar and same, and I don't know what to say. Can I kick into Alabama mode and forget I don't, just that he don't know any better. Just take it on that way. And so anyhow, the word cowrod. Now, I thought about California and equaling math. Now, I wasn't bad in math. I wasn't as good as Judy. Judy went on to college to study accounting. I wasn't good at that. I didn't know Algebra 1. I didn't know Algebra 2. I was going to try to be a mechanical engineering. Then I run head on into calculus and decided I think I'll work on refrigerators. So that's what I did. Now, I don't know why I said all that, but it was fun, wasn't it? But the word cowrod, if you were in my type of business in my early years, you would notice that the old stove eyes, electric stove eye, or your hot water heater element are cowrod type heating. Otherwise, you can apply heat without consuming the object. And that's a similar word here found in this bush. And I begin to think this bush represents this earth. It's a dry old bramble, or if I could use it today, I want the bush to represent you and me. Just to represent mankind. Not much to look upon for most of us, but just mankind. And there's a couple ways of viewing this, this fire that's burning in this bush. I'm seeing that God has set on fire just an old earthly bush. And the bush was not consumed. Now, I've learned over the years that when I try to burn for God, rather than God burning in me, the results are always ashes. But hey, when I let Him do the burning and just surrender my life, I'm amazed at how He just lets me keep going on and how He just lets me keep pressing on when it just seems like I just can't do it anymore, or I'm not worthy to do it anymore, and I'm not fit to do it anymore. Dear Lord, you better put some brakes on that. Me and this thing will be halfway back in the bag in just a minute. Help us, Lord. You understand, we're just an old bush, every one of us. Hey, I don't really care what your education is. I don't care what your health factor is. I don't care what your abilities are. You're just an old bush in the eyes of God. And God can use just any old bush for His glory. I never would have believed God would use an old country boy like me. I never would have believed God would have took an old from my background and would have used me to travel around this world. I never would have believed that. I still don't understand why He does. But I am thankful for one thing. I'm thankful there's a God in heaven who's willing to use any old bush who'll just surrender themselves to His glory and let Him burn through us. I'll give you two or three things this morning and I'll be done as I thought on this passage of Scripture. Just any old bush will do. Boy, I can remember, I don't say this braggingly, I probably have said this before. This is a true fact, a true fact, based on if it's equity or equality or if I'm making it up or not. But this is true. I graduated high school, and because of my high school background, and most folks know me, know I didn't grow up in church. Never walked in a church till I was 22 years of age. I never saw one page of Bible till I was 22 years of age. I never heard His eyes on the sparrow till I was 22 years of age. And at my high school graduation, they did what they call the prophecy. And they had all lined up. My parents are there. The gym is packed out. People are there wearing our cap and gowns. I'm crying because no more football. I'm sitting on front row, and There's several of us up front here in the prophecy. Matter of fact, Brother Robert Barrows, our pastor over in Century, his dad is faithful to our church. His dad taught me English, so you can tell he wasn't a very good teacher. He's there. His dad did that prophecy. And this is what he did. He went to one fella and he said, this fella's going to be a preacher. And this fella's going to be the next mayor of Century. And this young lady's going to be a science teacher. And he called our names and he said, and Ricky Dunsford will be the town drunk. That's what they said. What's sad is the preacher came town drunk, was killed in a car accident, and I become the preacher. And I began to think, Lord, one day you reached down out of nowhere. When I wasn't looking for you, you came looking for me. And you just saw an old bush that everyone else said, he'd be the town drunk. He's just an old bush. He'll burn out. He won't last long. But boy, God saw it different, didn't he? He said, just any old bush will do. See, I'm under the persuasion I wouldn't be in the prison ministry. God can take a broken life and an old burnout old bush and set a little fire in it, use it for His glory. I want to give you a couple things this morning. I'll be done. First of all, I want you to notice that God has a place for any old bush. God has a place. In 1 Corinthians 12:18, we're reminded that God has set every member in the body as it has pleased Him. Now, I can't be you, Brother Todd. Well, he's so eloquent. He gets up and God help me if I have to do one of those PowerPoint things. I'd have the Alabama ball game on there. I'd have it all fouled up. But I'm me. And I'm not the most eloquent. I'm not the smartest guy. I'm probably the best looking here. But other than that, not much to me. But God had a place for me. Boy, He knew right where I needed to be. He handpicked me for what He wanted me to do for His glory. And I just think about God, if You'll just leave me a little bush over here, just set me on fire for Your glory, then God, hey, let me see some sinners come to You. Let me draw men and women and children unto You like that fire in that old bush drew Moses to Your presence. Hey, can I tell you here today that any place that you put yourself where God set you on fire is holy ground. He has a place for any old bush. I was preaching in Brazil, and I've heard this phrase before, but I've never heard it until I was there in Brazil, and it was in Portuguese, so I asked the interpreter, I said, what does that sign behind me say before I preach to these folks? And the sign said, the work of missions is done by the feet of those who go and the knees of those who pray and the hands of those who give. And I thought, wow. And I've heard it since then. Amazing. I never read it or anything, but saw it there in Brazil. But I thought, Lord, You got a place for everyone. In the area of reaching the world, there's the feet of those that go. And there's the knees of those who pray, and the hand of those who give. Together, Lord, we're able to reach a world. You just take a bunch of old bushes, a bunch of old bramble, a bunch of old thorny, messed up folks. Set it on fire for Your glory. You see, there's a place for every bush. I jotted down in my notes that most of our problems with good people are they're in the wrong place most of the time. We have a tendency to want to say we're a cedar tree or a big oak tree instead of realizing we're nothing but an old bush. And when we get down to where we're just an old bush, that's where God can set us on fire for His glory. You see, He didn't put this bush in the palace where Moses had come from. Put it in a desert place. He put it in a dry place. He put it in a dark place. Sometimes God will put us in some places where we never thought we'd end up. But God can use us right where He puts us for His glory. Not only was there a place for any old bush, but God has a person for any old bush. You see, men try to do God's work man's way. God's more concerned that He does with our lives what He will. See, God's more concerned with relationship than with scholarship. Nothing wrong with that. But God's more concerned about availability than ability. And God's more concerned about anointing than our appointment. I remember I hadn't been saved long. Brother Stokes was taking me back in these days, and they had a gathering in Farmington, Alabama. Now, you got to remember, this has been a long time ago. I never stood before anybody. And so if I stood before two, I was nervous. And so we go there, and there's all these preachers from all over. And they're of every persuasion, if you would. And there's this one guy, and he comes in with his Gestapo, I guess. He's a pastor. He walks in. He's got three assistants with him. He sits down. You got to understand, I couldn't even tie a tie back then. So I was all out of whack. Nothing matched because Judy forgot to look at me. But I'm sitting there. My pastor's here. And that pastor's over there. And he looks across at me. He says, "Mr. Dunsford." I said, "Sir." He said, "What is your appointment?" I said, "My what?" "Why, sir, where has God appointed you to?" I said, "I don't know." "Well, what do you plan on doing with yourself?" I didn't know that either. He said, "Sir, you need to find direction from God." I said, "I got it." He said, "What's that?" I said, "I'm going to go tell every sinner what He did for me when I wasn't looking for Him and I deserved the devil's hell. He came and found me." I said, "I guess that's my appointment, sir." I don't know if the guy's still alive, but I'd like to find him right now and say, "I still don't have an appointment yet." I am appointed to heaven. Wasn't that amazing to me? I found out over the years that God is much more concerned about my anointing than His appointment. I found out that with the touch of God, even us old scraggly old bushes can be used for God's glory. You see, great talent and power in Egypt that Moses had gotten did not get him where God wanted him to be, but it was not until he tended a few sheep in Jethro's herds that Moses would be used to God's glory. You see, He had to bring him from a prince to a bush so Moses could catch on fire for the glory of God. There's a place for any old bush. And there's a person for any old bush. But there's also a purpose for any old bush. I've noticed some things. There's all kind of bushes. There's flowering bushes. Bushes that just flower. I mean, they don't do anything else. They just bloom. And they flower. And they're pretty. I'm going back in time because, see, you'll take this and then in another year or two when I don't remember anything, you can play it back to me and remind me what I said. But I remember when I first began preaching and like I said, I didn't know anything. I hadn't gone to Bible college yet. All I was learning what I had in about 6 or 7 weeks of Sunday school. And And I so fell in love with the Bible. I read it through twice that year. And I just, every service, every revival, I wanted to know what was going on. And I remember when I began to preach, and I'd look around at the crowd like I'm looking at you now. And in those days, people kind of made me nervous. But I've come to the conclusion, you're no different than me. Unless something's not doing what it's supposed to, then okay. But I can remember preaching, and there was always this guy on the front who thought he was in the fourth part of the Trinity, and I know you can't have four in that, but we failed math, remember? And he always sat right there, and every time I got to him, I mean, just, when I saw his wife, I knew I had an attitude, but anyway, I'm joking, she was a sweetheart. It was funny though, wasn't it? But there was this one lady, Sister Carolyn, she sat over about like where you do, and she had a set of teeth like that keyboard right there. Pretty lady, big old smile, and she sat right there, and every time I got up, she just loved any preaching. Bad preaching, good preaching, preaching. She just smiled, and you'd say, Jesus saving tears run down her face, and she smiled, and I'd just look at her. And I'd preach at her, and what a lot of people didn't know, her husband wouldn't come to church. He was an old drunkard. Boy, he was foul and mean to the family. One day I got so aggravated, she'd come to the altar every time, and boy, I got aggravated. I told Judy one time, you know, if it was me, I'd say, what we all do, go down and just whip that dude. That was my attitude. It ain't changed much, but I mean, that was my attitude. You know what God did? God took that little flowering bush that used to just encourage me, and I just preach it because it was such a beautiful flower. I went looking over here at this old thorny bush. I was looking over here. You're sitting in the wrong place. So anyway, I look over here at this flowering bush, and then one day in came her husband. He came to an altar weeping, got right with God, went to Bible college, and became a preacher. Because of Bush. No, she didn't teach a Sunday school class, didn't sing in the choir. Just came and smiled and was a flowering bush. And I really believe with all my heart, her purpose for God was to encourage a young preacher so that he might get up and then look at all the other sour faces and be able to preach to them. You see, there's a purpose for everything. Some are flowering bushes. Some are just thorny bushes, aren't they? But we need them all. Honestly, I as vice president of the ministry, I work with a lot of different missionaries, and I was transferring some leadership into a guy, and he come to me, and he was having another trouble with the missionary, and he was going, oh, I tell you, which is it? On and on and on. I said, okay, fine. I'll dismiss the guy. I said, but I can promise you this. There'll be another one just like him. And you can get rid of him and there'll come another one just like him. And I said, you know what? God sometimes puts the thorns in your place because sometimes a good bed of thorns will keep you from going where you don't belong. Sometimes they're there for you and you need that. Criticism sometimes. Sometimes you need that. Sometimes God just puts that aggravating person in your life to show you how much He loves you, and you learn to love like He loves. You'll be surprised how much God will reveal to you yourself in the old thorny bushes. I got one more of those, and then I'll move on, but I remember sometimes you're just an old hanging bush. Judy and I never thought about it. I don't understand ferns. They look like grass that's falling out of a pot. But Judy always wanted a porch across the front of the house. And so one day I got out and I got to remodeling our old house, and I said, okay, I built her porch all the way across the front of the house. Got that fixed up. I built it, and it withstood Ivan, so I must be a carpenter. Put out, and one day she went, I don't know if it's to the feed store or to Walmart, but she bought four of them big fern hanging bushes. Mosquito drawing grass. So I got this foul spirit about me. But I don't want these ferns, because you know why? She's 5'2", and I'm 6'4". She hangs nothing high enough. I had to shave like this. Nothing. So guess who bumps into everything? So I'm out here with this foul spirit telling God, you sure you created these, or did they drop out of somewhere? And she's sitting out in her front yard. She just sat down on the grass. And I walked out that day and I said, what you doing, girl? She started tearing up a little bit. She said, I love my place. Isn't it beautiful? I love my place. And I went, oh my. She saw a beauty that I could not see, because I didn't understand the purpose of the fern. I thought you had to be able to boil it up in pork chops and eat it. I didn't get it. But it just had to hang around. You know, sometimes I've learned over the years that I've met acquaintances and friends that in the eyes of some, they don't accomplish much or do much. They just hang around. But I found that I've learned to love people enough. It's good just to see them hang around. All they got to do is lock you up in your house through a COVID year, and you're looking for anything to hang around. Honestly, I was sitting at the house, and I live out in the country. And I sat there about 3 or 4 days quiet. Them high school kids that I fussed at flying up and down that highway going to the high school, across the run in my yard, I just longed to hear them speed again so I could call their parents and tell on them. I sat out there on that porch, and a possum came up. Now, you're pretty COVID psycho when you start talking to a possum. But I ain't preached in a while. And I knew that possum wasn't saved. I said, you hang around a little bit, possum. I'll get you right with God. I just sat there on the back porch, and I began to think. Sometimes we forget some folks maybe just seem like, you know, they come and might not do much, they just kind of hang around. But God's got a purpose, doesn't he? For any old bush. Fourthly, I thought of this, God has a power for any old bush. He wants others to behold his flame in you and I. He wants to give to you and I that exceeding power. He wants to show a world that he, through us, we can go beyond our power. It is said of that Macedonian church that they gave beyond their power. Well, that's an amazing one, isn't it? You see, God wants to empower you and I so that a world might see his glory and not ours. There's a gentleman, Dr. Gene Hooker. I have an office, a corporate office in Tennessee with our ministry, and it's Dr. Ellis and myself, and just go down an office, and there is Dr. Hooker's office. Dr. Hooker was vice president before I was. He's now 80 years of age. Brother Hooker taught me a lot over through the years, Brother Todd and Dr. Hooker sits there. Dr. Hooker had two sons, both preachers. His son, Brother Chris, and I were good friends. Brother Chris was a Desert Storm Marine. He came back to start over in the Jacksonville area, what we had as a Florida representative or Florida director to reach all the institutions of Florida. He built an office over in that area, and he would travel across the state of Florida holding prison revivals, taking volunteers with him. Brother Howard, you know how we do in Alabama, a little smaller scale, but we do it that way, like Mike, Brother Kelly used to do. And Brother Chris was over that. One morning early, Brother Chris was on his way to the Lauderdale Correctional Institution. And on his way, he was hit by a log truck, and it would paralyze Chris from the neck down at about 35 years of age. Chris would spend the next 10 years doing what he could for the Lord, permanently paralyzed from the neck down. His dad, Dr. Gene Hooker, would help Sister Juanita, Chris's wife, and him care for Chris over and over and over for 10 years. While doing this, Dr. Hooker's wife, Miss Bessie, was declared legally blind. She also began to get deteriorating discs. She's had back surgeries. Literally, they cut her from the front, went in, cut her, rolled her over. 14 days later, cut her from the back. He now 80 years old, and on top of that, he's caring for a brother 3 or 4 years younger than him. Finally, had to get him in a nursing home. But he's been caring for him morning and night, 30 miles away from where he lives every day. He'd take care of his brother. He'd come home, take care of his wife. He would take care of Chris, and he'd come into the office. Chris would go on to be with the Lord. Brother Hooker said, would it be all right if I just serve somewhere? He oversees our printing ministry, stays there at the office, and serves with us. Just about a week ago, he got a phone call that his other son, Anthony, was found laying dead with a massive heart attack in his living room. And he would drive all the way down and stand in the pulpit and preach the funeral of his youngest son. Take his wife, legally blind, and come back to Cleveland, Tennessee. I just got alone and said, Oh God, what is it that gets a man through times like this? Why in the world has so much befallen? Do you know his testimony is he grew up in church, his dad was a preacher, never alcohol touched his lips, never said a foul word. I've known him for now 33 years. I don't know of a greater Christian walking this planet than that man. And that's to say I've met a lot. And I asked the Lord, now I know you're stronger than I am, but me and the Lord, he has to explain some things to me. I know what the Bible says. I can call verses up and why he does what he does. Right at that point, my emotions are bothering me. And Scripture's not coming to mind. And so I just say, Lord, why such a good man? And the sweet Holy Spirit of God reminded me, I've got a power for that bush. And you know what? I realized that the flame that God would burn in Brother Hooker was for me. I know for others. But it set me on fire, saying, Lord, I see you in him. I see you more in him than I've seen in a long time in anyone, Lord. Lord, I know it's a difficult time for him, but oh, one day in glory, will you let him know what that dear man of God did for this old man, just watching a flame burn in an old bush. I'll close. At our best, we're just an old desert bush that may offer a little warmth, might cook up a little meal when set on fire. But the work is always just ashes where we're involved. But when the Lord uses us and sets the flame in us, the result is, Moses, go tell them, I am sent you. Moses began to complain, remember? Lord, I can't speak. Lord, I can't go back. Moses, go tell them you were up on an old dusty desert mountain and something caught on fire and it wasn't consumed. And Moses, I believe the Holy Spirit said to Moses, not in our Bible, I want to believe, Moses, I can set you on fire. You won't be consumed. Just let me do the burning. And I'll set a people free for my glory. Can I challenge you today? Sometimes maybe you feel, well, I just don't have the health anymore. I'm not as sharp as I used to be. I'm too young, or why would God even use me? Just remind you today that God's looking for a people that any old bush will do, and you can burn right where you are for His glory, and others will desire to see what causes that old bush to burn. What causes that old bush to light up? What causes that old bush to give warmth in a cold and chilly time? Any old bush will do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again this morning for your goodness. Lord, I feel more like that old desert bush than ever a tall cedar. I feel like sometimes, Lord, that I just need to be somewhere out of the way. But I thank you, Lord, for the flame of God. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I don't really know what all to do, but I'm just willing to. Lord, as that old preacher said, I don't know what appointment meant. I just thought I was supposed to go. Now, Heavenly Father, would you today, if there be one here that does not know you as their Savior, they can today. Lord, if there's one here, maybe, if they feel like that maybe life has passed them by, maybe they're not fit for the work of the kingdom, just let them know, Lord, that you can set any old bush on fire. Lord, we need someone to step up for this next generation. Someone to stand and burn boldly for your glory. Now, Lord, would you bless the remainder of our day, and we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, Brother Todd.
What a blessing this morning. And I pray that we will take to heart, instead of trying to fix the bush ourselves, make it look more presentable, we need to let the Holy Spirit of God do a work in our heart. And let Him do that work, and let the power of that fire from God be something that's seen in us rather than the bush itself. That's what moved Moses when he saw it. He saw the burning bush. The bush was on fire, but it was not being consumed. And that's the way we should be. There's too many people that are walking around with their hands down because they're so concerned about what's happening in our world and all the things that are happening. We need God's power so we can be a burning bush in this age so people can see Jesus Christ. May God help us to desire that.